thanks everybody for tuning into the Shore Thing today. It is November 23rd. Warren and Ryan here with the only one episode this week, as we said last week. So on this one, we'll take a look back at the football weekend. We'll have picks for this weekend's college and NFL games. There is some action. I thought the end of action was last Tuesday. There is some action tonight. So maybe potential picks there. But we'll have picks for the upcoming weekend. We'll talk about a bunch of stuff out there. There is a match on Friday. I want to get your thoughts on this. I don't even know if you're interested in it, as that seems to be a new Friday tradition as well, having this golf match out there. So we can talk about that as well. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the iHeartRadio app under the podcast section. Ryan, how is it? How's it going out there? I will say I've seen the weather. It's a lot warmer there than it is. I am in Cleveland. It's a lot warmer there than it is here.
Yeah, it's been beautiful the last couple of days. We made it out to the golf course yesterday, and it couldn't have been better. So yeah, weather's great. You're kind of missing out. I saw Sunday it was nice and cold and rainy out there. So tough week for you to take off.
Well, it's fine. Look, Sunday it was like 45 degrees. Okay, that's not that bad. It could be a lot worse. It is. It does look like this whole weekend looks very, very nice. But I assume that it's going to continue to be very, very nice there in Dallas and even in Cleveland. I think now I'm looking at the weather. We head into the 30s, the mid 30s. That's pretty standard, I'd say, for this time. But it's sunny right now. I do see a 50% chance of snow on Friday and Sunday. You know what? This is what you get. It's not all that bad.
Well, that's good.
How was golf yesterday?
It was good. Good. We played really well. So that was nice because I was playing with some guys that are significantly better than me. So I wanted to make sure that, I didn't totally embarrass myself. I think I held my own a little bit. Like I said, it was a beautiful day. Good company. So it was a good day out there.
All right. That's good. That is good. All right. So I went to the Browns game on Sunday, as you mentioned. I've got some stories from the game. Those were my uncle's season tickets that I was sitting at. Great seats, like right at the 45 yard line. Second to last row of the lower level, so it's row 31, but it's great because it's undercover. So with the rain, we weren't, it wasn't even raining that hard. It was like a heavy mist, light drizzle out there. So we're undercover there. We sat in those seats. I've sat in those seats many times because when we would go to games when I was a kid, when we still lived here, we would go to a game a year and everything like that. But that was my first game in Cleveland since 2007. So I haven't been back to a Browns game, regular season game, went to one preseason game a couple years ago. But so it was good to be there. And it was pretty funny to me, the whole, excuse me. It wasn't really a sellout. I think the weather kind of deterred people a little bit. I'd say it's about 90% full, which is still not bad for that. For that weather, but it was so funny. I always love all the, when you go to Washington games, I bet all the old jerseys out there. There are some real gems, out there. But the fans. Let me tell you what we are in full on Baker wars right now in the city of Cleveland, and Baker's not really helping himself out by what he's saying, I will say. And so, like, on Sunday, first of all, Sunday, he should have not played the game. He shouldn't have not played on Sunday. I've been saying this for a while. Like, if he's not, he's playing horrible. He's playing so bad because he's injured. He's got a foot injury. He's got the shoulder injury. I think the foot injury is affecting him more, I think, than the shoulder. But he's clearly not himself out there. So why not rest him up against the Lions? Have Case Keenum out there. Already played against the Broncos, beat a much better team. You should be able to beat the Lions with Case Keenum if you beat the Broncos with Case Keenum. So I thought he shouldn't have never been out there. But then, I mean, he's throwing some terrible, terrible passes, gets picked off. Then he's starting getting booed. There's some boo birds out there. I don't know. You talked about last week saying Washington when they beat the Super Bowl champions, it was more of a relief than exuberant joy that you won a game because you're not getting embarrassed. I would say I would disagree. Whenever you beat the Super Bowl champions, you should be excited about that, no matter what your record is. But going up against the Lions and you're 5-5, you're in the thick of a playoff race. You're in a division race. The division isn't really that good, I think. Who knows what's going on? This is the Lions game where it's a relief when you win. You can enjoy the win. It's a relief, but there are bigger fish to fry in the coming weeks ahead, especially the next two games, which are against the Baltimore Ravens. So when things start getting dicey out there, fans are just they were frustrated because everybody knows Baker could play better than this, and he's not playing well. He's sailing guys, he's underthrowing guys. Then he makes like two beautiful throws on the sideline, and you're like, where the hell is this? I don't know. It's pretty funny because this is the best Browns. This is the best home game I've probably ever attended with the Browns, other than the last game in 2007 when they beat the 49ers and needed the Colts to win on Sunday night. So it's just a funny vibe considering all the other games I went to when I was younger. They were terrible and they lost in overtime. They had some heartbreaking losses, but the crowd was just ready to turn. They were just, it was a frustrated crowd. It was a frustrated crowd, which was something that, it was a frustrated crowd for the reasons of that they are good rather than a frustrated crowd because this team is just horrible.
Yeah, no, it's champagne problems now that you guys, you know, have tasted a little bit of success and shown that you're moving in the right direction. I was fully prepared to ask you what your thoughts were on Baker and kind of see where he's at because, you know, he's going to be up for his extension soon. I think after next year, correct? He's up for his extension.
Yeah, they have the fifth-year option this year.
Correct. So, you know, the Browns got to figure some stuff out there with their quarterback position. But like you said, he's not really helping himself out. And to his credit, you know, he's not giving like, you know, when they asked him about the Boo Birds and stuff in the press conference after, or I guess not after because he didn't talk to the media, but the next day, he said it's probably the same fans that, you know, won't be quiet when we're on offense. So, you know,
yeah, but I got a problem with that. Just say, you know what? They can do what they want. They pay their money. I played bad. Like if he just said I played bad and I was bad, I deserve to get booed or something. I'm not even just saying
that's not a Baker answer. That was the point I was getting to. Is like, that's not a Baker. No, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, to his credit, like he's sticking to his guns and not giving just not giving like some generic answer or, you know, being, I guess your route too, being a little self-deprecating, like, hey, look, I need to play better. That would have been absolutely acceptable as well. But like I said, to his credit, he's not out there just, you know, giving media talk or generic media talk. He's still Baker, whether he plays good or bad or, you know, one way or the other. So that's not easy to do, is just to continue to play it straight down the line. And he's done that. But again, to what extent and to what kind of detriment maybe in the eyes of the fans?
Yeah, and also, well, I think they're headed for a divorce. I think the Browns and Baker are going to be done. I don't think he's going to get a second contract from them. I think that's what we're looking at. And you never know what quarterbacks are going to be available. Like this offseason, you got to think Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson are going to be available. Who knows who else is going to come open or
Cam
is going
Newton.
To be available? Yeah, Cam Newton. But who else is going to become available? So you got to keep your options open. And the thing is, like Baker last year was a couple plays away from taking the team to the AFC Championship game. Like when he's healthy, he has shown in the system that he is a very capable quarterback. And so now he's got all these injuries. And I want to know, like the organization has mismanaged him this season horrifically. I think like they did the good thing against the Broncos resting him, but look at like what the Cardinals are doing with Kyler. They just sat him out for 3 weeks in a row and they went 2-1 and then now they have a bye week. So he gets a month off coming into the stretch run. I'm not saying the Browns needed to rest Baker for a whole month, but when it was clear that he was injured and re-injured his foot during the Patriots game, take him out and let Keenum play. And then against the Lions, rest him again. As I said, you're playing the Lions. You're going to beat them. You should beat them. And have him get ready for the Ravens game. But, and I also like Baker. Did you see what Baker's wife put out there? She went on Sunday night, like reposted some guy on the gram, like saying if only his other teammates were as tough as Baker or something. I mean, Jarvis Landry's got a bum knee out there. He could barely run, and he's playing. And it's just calling people out for toughness. Like, no one's questioning Baker's toughness. But now I want to know, is he defying the team or Stefanski or the medical doctors and saying, you know what, I'm playing for a contract and I'm toughing it out to show how tough I am so I could get that next contract, when really he's hurting himself because he is turning in, while he's playing this injured, he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. And this is very uncharacteristic for him to play this poorly. Like, he's not this bad. He's not this bad. He's probably he's a top 15 probably quarterback in the league. But he's playing in the bottom half of the league. He's not this bad. It's just his injuries are playing him that bad. So he knows the contract's up there. So he's gutting it out. And now people are questioning how good he is to his problem out there. But I don't know. They won. Dan Campbell, he sucks as a head coach. Yeah. He stinks. Like, he could talk about biting kneecaps off and we're going to win. We're going to play to win. We're going to do all this stuff. He coached the most conservative game for a team that hadn't won a game I've ever seen. I mean, they had one good play. It was a DeAndre Swift run. Tim Boyle was horrible. Horrible. The fact that it was even close is a problem for the Browns offense in the second half. But they had chances. They kicked a field goal on like 4th and 7 late in the middle of the fourth quarter when they should have gone for it. They didn't go for it on 4th and 13. I know it's 4th and 13. But there was 2 minutes and 50 seconds left. They did have 3 of their timeouts left, but why not try and go for it? I don't know. He played to lose, coached to lose on Sunday. And, I mean, they were going to lose no matter what. But he is a bad game, like shocking game management or clock management, game situation stuff. I was shocked by that. But it was a fun time. Look, if you like barking, if you like to bark, go to a Browns game because there's a lot of barking going on, as you might imagine. There was a big Nick Chubb chant going on multiple times in the fourth quarter when he just was taking over the game. It was funny. The guy behind us, pounding beers and everyone's chanting Chubb in the whole stadium. And then he gets a first down or he gets a run and then they pull him out of the game and DeErnest Johnson is in and still, he's the only one chanting Chubb as DeErnest is getting the ball. He goes, "That-a-way, Chubb, that-a-way, Chubb, 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 Chubb." And we're like, dude, that's DeErnest Johnson. And he goes, "Oh, it doesn't matter. They're all Chubb to me or whatever." And I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. But no, it was a fun time.
That's cool. Yeah, it's always nice to get out to an NFL game. I got mine coming up in about a month and be able to report back from that.
It's nice to go in the home fans. Yeah. Not saying I don't mind going to a road game. But it was nice to go in front of the home fans because...
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
The camaraderie's there.
Yeah, the camaraderie's there. Oh, and the funniest thing, too, is so my uncles had these season tickets since 2000 or since 1999, so when they came back. When we started going to... We've been going to games forever, but starting in fifth grade, we then realized when we went to the game that year that my gym teacher in fifth grade was sitting in the row in front of us, two seats to the left. Like, what are the odds of that? And I was like talking to my dad. I was like, man, I wonder if she still has the same season tickets or whatever, if I'm going to see her there. What do you know? Still in the same seats.
Love to see it.
Did not say hi though, because didn't really find a good time. We probably could have got there before the game, but could have said it before the game, but I don't know. Didn't really find a good time, but still there. So that was a pretty funny out there.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, all right. Elsewhere in the NFL, we'll get Cowboys and Chiefs, 19-9. This is a thing. I think we've got to start looking at it. I've got to go through the numbers. But whenever the total for the highest game of the week in the NFL goes under, what is it, like 70% of the time, 65% of the time?
Yeah,
quite a few. I think I've seen before. And that's happened this year with the Cowboys, obviously, Cowboys-Chiefs. Like, whenever you think high-scoring game, it goes under. And then this really threw a wrench into the plans when Amari Cooper went out. You're like, okay, they could probably do that. Michael Gallup's back. Cedric Wilson's been pretty solid as a number three receiver. But then CeeDee Lamb goes out with a concussion, and then the offense really couldn't do anything. And I'm surprised how poor the offense was. Zeke looked really poor. He also looked hurt. He didn't. He looked like he was really going through it a lot. But I'm surprised that they didn't score a touchdown. Surprised the Cowboys didn't score a touchdown because the Chiefs defense has been pretty bad. I'm still not ready to say like I fully am a believer in the Chiefs, but I'm starting to get back there. I'm starting to see that, okay, they found their stride here, but I'm not ready yet to say that.
Yeah, I think what you said right there is perfect. They are finding their stride and they're finally working their way back into shape. And the shape we're used to seeing them the last couple of years since Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes been at the helm. So, you know, in that sense, you know, and obviously adding Clyde Edwards-Helaire back, that's going to help the running game quite a bit. You know, Darrell Williams did a fine job for him, but, you know, Edwards-Helaire sometimes can add another dynamic to that offense. And so having him back and having your RB1 is going to be huge for the offense. But Patrick Mahomes looks like he's kind of settled down and isn't trying to force things as much anymore. And he's picking apart the defense and getting back to, like I said, you know, back into the form and working back into the shape that we're used to seeing the Chiefs. But I agree too, not ready to crown them. Shout out Dennis Green, but they are definitely working their way to the top of that division. Well, they are at the top of the division. There was where they won what, 5 straight, but like looking like the, yep, the cream of the crop of the AFC with the downfall or the looks, you know, the way things turned around with the Titans, another bad loss for them. The Bills have another bad loss. And so things are getting, you know, kind of taking form here, and you got to put the Chiefs right in the conversation of best teams in the AFC.
Yeah. The AFC is really a logjam. There's 3 teams in the AFC that don't have 5 wins.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable for a conference. The Texans, Jags, and or there's 4 teams, sorry. Dolphins, Jets, Texans, and Jags. Everybody else has at least 5 wins. That is, excuse me, that's pretty amazing. And even from the Cowboys, I'm not really worried about them. I do think that they will figure things out. The thing I am worried about, though, is that like when McCarthy is talking after the game, he's like, oh, the weather is an issue. It was like 40, it was like 50 degrees there. Like, what are you doing? It's not a weather's not an issue. And if you're going to be the 4 seed, you're only going to get 1 home playoff game potentially, which is going to be in the dome. So they're still what, 2.5 games up in the division, still have that pretty much on lock. And then they're going to play for seeding. Like you can't blame it on weather. You can't blame it on stuff. The thing I found interesting, though, is today. I don't know if you saw this, but I don't think an owner's ever done this, or only one owner is capable of doing this. Jerry just eviscerated Amari Cooper today. Did you see this?
I did not.
So he obviously is on COVID list. Amari Cooper not vaccinated. And this was the whole thing about what happens when a player gets unvaccinated. They miss games. The Cooper's going to miss 2 games. For sure, maybe a third. And he goes, it's a we thing. When you walk into the locker room, you can't win individually. This is a classic case of how it can impact a team. And this popped us. This did pop us. Like, that's, I know Jerry's an outspoken owner, obviously the most in the league, but you rarely see an owner just trash, like rip a player's decision like that. And I think Jerry before the season was pretty adamant about hoping everybody on the team would get vaccinated, even though, yes, you could still miss a game. But if he was vaccinated, probably a good chance he'd play on Thursday. But boy, that's pretty still pretty alarming for an owner to say that.
Yeah, you know, Jerry's not one to mince words. And I think he realized when he made his initial statements beginning the season of better everybody getting vaccinated, that if they were going to, you know, make a run at this thing, it's probably now is the time to do it. There's no building towards that. Now is the time to do it. And so, you know, if he feels like that Super Bowl is right at his fingertips, or at least an appearance in a Super Bowl is right there, he's, you know, Jerry, he wants to make sure he can take care of it. And so I guess Amari not wanting to be vaccinated, you know, really, really pissed him off because he feels like that jeopardizes their Super Bowl chances.
Well, and I think you can really point to when CeeDee Lamb got out, was hurt with the concussion, that the passing offense, look, it wasn't going great to begin with, but with Lamb and Cooper out, it really was taking a hit. And I know they were throwing a lot because they were down, but it really was struggling without those two guys out there. And I know one of them was due to an injury, but if the other was, since the other guy's unavailable, you're looking at the guy and why he's unavailable, you're like, oh, well, he could have potentially prevented this on that. And he's seeing that maybe if Cooper was out there, it would have been a different story for the offense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they play the Raiders this week. The Raiders are doing their normal Raider thing of losing a bunch of games to get to 500 in the middle of the season. That's an interest. The Raiders also, they're as we've talked about a lot, they're going through a lot of turmoil, or they got a lot of, I don't know, distractions, extracurriculars going on with them, with the Henry Ruggs thing and Gruden and all that stuff. But look, I think that should be I think that's going to be a tough game because they got Max Crosby out there. They got good defensive ends. They got a potentially high potent offense. If Darren Waller, though, the teams are taking him out of there. I think that this is going to be a tough game on Thursday. I've usually been like, oh, the Cowboys, I've bet them a lot this year. I'm going to lay off them. I'm going to lay off them on Thursday.
Yeah, no, I kind of getting back to your original point. The Raiders definitely are like you said, doing their old thing that they usually do. They look like they're regressing a ton when they look like they might, you know, especially when the Chiefs are going through their trials and tribulations, that they might be able to take that division. It's going to be a doozy of a Thursday night game. That one's going to be brutal. The Bears, Lions, Raiders, Cowboys going to be, like I said, Cowboys probably should win that game, should win it outright. And then Bills, Saints, I think that's going to be a lot closer and a lot better game than people probably expect on paper.
Yeah. Look, when they announced the Thanksgiving game, Bills, Saints, I thought that was going to be a pretty poor, I was not really thrilled for that. Now it looks, Trevor Siemian. I also don't understand, like, what's the draw for the Saints now that Drew Brees is gone? Like, what is it? Playing in New Orleans? Yeah. Is that it? Like,
probably.
They shouldn't be getting, I don't know how many primetime games they've had, but like, to me, they're not a team that is like,
must without Drew Brees.
Yeah, no. Do you think so?
No, I totally agree.
Yeah. So why? Okay. They're at like, they got a Sunday nighter. So we got four games left with the Saints coming up on national television. We got this Thursday. Then we got next Thursday against the Cowboys. Fine. Look, Saints Cowboys. That's always going to be a big draw, whatever. Then you got home against, when they go at Tampa Bay, and then they host the Dolphins on Sunday night. Like, I just do not get the draw for the Saints on TV without the first season without Drew Brees. Like, I guess you don't want to throw them kick them to the curb off a ton of primetime games, but I mean, two, whatever, is fine, but it just seems like we're going to be on Saints primetime overload coming up. And to me, they're not an interesting team at all. And we're going to be watching a lot of Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill. And that's just not fun.
No, agree. Agreed.
But good thing the Egg Bowl's Thursday night, so you don't have to watch that. You can watch the Egg Bowl. So you can do that. But yeah, no, the Bills are, they are, don't know what's going on with them.
They're a head scratcher right now.
Yeah, you think they need a running game back or more emphasis on the run. I also think we're seeing some regression from Josh Allen. Like, he was really, 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 really good last year. And now we're seeing that. I'm not saying that was he can't do that again, but he's probably going to, they're going to see a little bit of a regression from him. And they're seeing that right now. And now they're really in trouble. I mean, they got two games left against the Patriots still next Monday night after this Thursday night game. So they actually get lucky there. They get a mini bye week before that. But they are, and it's not even like the defense is playing bad. They're just on offense. They just seem kind of lost right now.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of off the subject, sort of. But I feel like Buffalo would have been a great spot for Odell to land, and really help that offense. You know, him and Diggs, I think, would have been a great 1-2 punch. And having Emmanuel Sanders in the slot, you know, to kind of stretch the field a little bit, that would have been huge. But yeah, since they don't have that running game, they kind of can become one-dimensional, and when they do run the ball, they're not very effective. And I agree that Josh Allen does not look as sharp as he did last year. He still has had some shining moments or some bright spots this year, but then he also always has that moment, what the guys over at PMT say, where you just push all the buttons, and he just, like, his brain just short circuits, and he's always good for, you know, maybe one or two boneheaded interceptions or bad plays. So he's got to shore up his play and be a lot more consistent for that team to roll. Cause I think it starts and ends with him and Diggs as far as that team going. And the defense has just got to be better too. I mean, a couple big losses in recent weeks where teams have put up big points against them.
Yeah, you also look at their strength of victory. Their teams they've beat have a winning percentage of 365. The Patriots also their strength of victory. They've beaten teams of theirs is 375. So it's not like they're beating a ton of good teams. The Colts the same thing 344. So they're beating teams that they should beat. The Colts are a team that I was saying watch out for a little bit, but they are on a war path right now. They're just killing everybody. And I will say, look, let's stop the Jonathan Taylor like MVP talk. I think that's pretty ridiculous stuff. Like, so say, if Austin Eckler on Sunday night gets one more touchdown, are we saying Austin Eckler MVP because he gets five touchdowns in a game?
No, I mean, I think it's more so the resume that Jonathan Taylor's put together. I mean, he's already had 1,100 yards, 13 touchdowns. He's averaging over 100 yards a game. So I think it's more of the what he's done over the entire season and not just that five touchdown game.
Yeah, I mean, he's had he's had a great season. Don't get me wrong, but he's not the MVP. I saw T.A., we referenced T.A., but I think it's funny whenever he, like Dan Orlowski has said like five guys this year should be MVP, and it changes like every single week because of that. Like, he's not the MVP of the league. Come on. He's having a fantastic season. He's probably going to win the rushing title, you would think, but stop with like, just because a guy is having a good year and their team's now coming together after a slow start that they're just automatically like the MVP. I mean, you want to say an MVP, look at the Steelers defense without TJ Watt. It's pretty bad. Wouldn't you say so? Yeah. You could argue that he's the MVP. I mean, you could argue a ton of guys in the league are MVPs. So I don't like doing that. But what else from the weekend? Washington got a big win or a win. They're working their way in the hunt.
They're working their way in. And we got a big game on Monday night against Seattle. Seattle has kind of become like an arch nemesis for Washington over the last couple of years. When they were the Redskins, every time they made the playoffs, they would have a first round exit against Seattle. So I always have this one marked down whenever they play each other. If we got to beat Seattle, just kind of those dumb rivalries that you put in your head as a fan. And that's definitely a very winnable game. So we win that game. We definitely start creeping back into the playoff picture a little bit because the NFC is so weak. So that's, you know, obviously a good positive note there. And they actually look like they're playing a little bit better. Tampa Bay obviously rolls a bad Giants team yesterday. Not really a shocker there. I think New England, I think they're going to be a team to reckon with. I think they're for real.
I'm not ready to call them for real yet. Mm. They're playing better. They are playing a better, but as I said, they're beaten. If you go look at their wins, what is their best win this season against the Browns?
I get what you're saying, and maybe a little bit hypocritical.
The Chargers, okay.
The Chargers for sure, maybe a little bit hypocritical, but the way they've won the last maybe three or four games, or the way they've looked as they've won the last three or four games, I think is what you got to have to kind of point to.
The defense has been playing very, very well. And then Josh McDaniels has done a great job of scheming up stuff for Mac Jones. They're making easy throws, a lot of screens, reverses here and there. Like, they're doing it. They're making it a lot very easy on him. But they do have a tough... The Patriots, you look at their upcoming schedule at Bills, or the Titans, Bills, Colts, Bills. That's a tough four-game stretch ahead that we will find out. I assume they'll probably go 2-2 through those.
Yeah, I got to assume.
But I would like to see those four games before, at least two of them, before I'm ready to pronounce that they are here to reckon with or something. But they are playing a lot better. They're playing really, really well lately, and the defense is playing incredibly well. But the opponents they've played so far, I mean, they've really played well since the Cowboys game. I know they got lucky, or they had that comeback win against the Texans when they looked pretty poor. But that's there. In my Seattle future, that's not looking good.
I told you.
Look, that was a shot in the dark, though. But I'm surprised at how poor they're playing. even with Russell back, because the NFC is pretty poor. I thought that was a good chance there.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Well, obviously, because you didn't say it.
Fair.
All right, we'll get to picks this week. Last week, 2-3, kind of just stuck in neutral here. I'm 32-23 on the season. I got a couple games on Thursday. Look, Tim Boyle's playing. Tim Boyle is terrible. The Lions aren't gonna. I don't think the Lions are gonna score 10 points on Thursday. They're gonna, if their team total, whatever their team total is,
take the under.
Take the under. I bet the under. Their team totals 19.5. How are they gonna score 19 points?
Yeah,
that guy was so bad, so bad. So take the Lions team total under 19, but I'm taking the Bears -3.5. I'm taking the Bills -4.5. I'm not a believer in Trevor Siemian. So probably walking into something there, but those are my two games Thursday. And then to round it out, I'm going to take the Titans +5.5 against the Patriots. I think they were always destined for a loss after they beat those five good teams in a row. And Tyrod, not bad with the Texans. I'm going to take Houston -2.5 against the Jets, and then Miami +2 against Carolina. There's been the thing of where a fourth place team has beaten the division leader the last, whatever, like 5 weeks of the season or something like that.
Yeah.
There's only one of those matchups this week. Do you know what the matchup is? If you have the schedule in front of you.
Yeah, I have the schedule in front of me. No.
It is the Browns against the Ravens.
Ah.
That's the fourth place versus the first place. Other than that, I don't.
That's tricky. I was just going by team record, and that's why.
Yep.
Because Pittsburgh has that tie.
Yep. So that's the only fourth place versus first place game this season. Or this weekend.
This week. I'll tell you what, you were on this pretty early, but the trend of teams not covering versus teams that covered, that's really picking up some steam, like across like major betting, people that bet a lot. You know, that's what a trend that everyone goes to pretty frequently now. So I don't know where you saw it or where you picked it up from, but you were on it a lot earlier than a lot of other people. I've just now been seeing other people talk about it for about 2 weeks now, but I don't know how many of those matchups we have this week. I didn't go through and look, but
I didn't go through and look either, but I found that on the old TikTok.
Oh, nice. Okay. So shout out to the TikToker. Shout out to Little Huddy.
Shout out to the Little Huddy. But that TikToker guy, he's a volume. People don't know what his picks are, because he'll give out the trend, and then he's this guy that he's got like a premium service or whatever, and then he goes, oh, this is my game or something, and then it's like, what, like people are like, you just gave out this pick on TikTok, but you're giving out the opposite side here. Like, he's one of those guys, but he gives out the trend. So I was looking at the trend. That's it. The other picks I don't really care about. Just tell me the trend.
Yeah. All right, I went 3-2 last week. So I am sitting, you want to talk about sitting in neutral. I'm 26-26-2 on the season. So wait, that doesn't make sense.
It should equal 55.
Correct. We got lost somewhere. I'll have to go back and recalculate the total. Is that right? No. That's 56, isn't it?
Yeah. I think. What were your 26-26-2?
Yeah.
No, it's 54.
Yeah. So that's not right.
You're
so
missing one.
I'm missing one somewhere. I got to go back and look. Yeah, I'll go back and figure it out. Anyway, my picks this week, I got the Eagles laying 3.5 against the Giants. The Giants stink. The Eagles are kind of playing pretty well right now. Jalen Hurts has definitely improved as a playmaker. I don't know about his quarterback actually throwing the ball, but just was making plays. He looks like he's a lot more decisive with his decisions. I got Tampa Bay laying 3 against Indianapolis. I don't love this pick, but I didn't love a lot of games on the board this week. I like Minnesota plus 3 at San Francisco. I like Green Bay laying the 1 against the Rams, and I'm going to take the football team against Seattle, also laying 1 on Monday night.
Wow. Nice one.
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to find this trend here. If he's got it up this... Wow, this guy's deleted all his videos. He just, like, started a new account or something.
Ah, I found my mistake. I'm 26... 27-2.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so that's that. All right, college football, big week ahead, a rivalry week. Lot of biggest game of the weekend, obviously, is Ohio State, Michigan, Big Ten East on the line. Both teams' playoff hopes on the line. I'll tell you what, I didn't see 49-0 at half of Ohio State, Michigan State. But I didn't think Michigan State was going to be able to keep up scoring with Ohio State. I also don't think Michigan's going to be able to score with Ohio State. Now, it is on the road. CJ Stroud has played much better the past couple of weeks against some better teams. But I still think Ohio State is going to handle business fairly easily against Michigan. Now, I hate saying that in this game. This is Michigan's probably best chance to win since they had the spot in, like, I think that was 2016, but it is at home, so that is a big help for Michigan. They're 5-1 against the number at home this year. Ohio State's 2-1-1, but I don't think Michigan. I know their pass defense is, it's pretty average, about 60th in the country. I don't know if they're going to be able to stop these wide receivers. They do have Aiden Hutchinson. Their defensive line is good. Ojale, he's good up front, but Ohio State's got too many weapons.
No, I completely agree. You know, we talked about that with Ohio State last week against Michigan State, of just having the better athletes, and they're going to be able to out-athlete them, no problem. Now, I do think, obviously, Michigan does have better athletes and better skill players all around with Michigan, Michigan has much better athletes than Michigan State. But I do think that this is going to be another one where Ohio State kind of rolls. CJ Stroud's playing really well. He's right in the thick of the Heisman talk. I definitely see Ohio State taking this and not having too much of an issue.
And the biggest thing for Ohio State is that their defense has played much better lately. Now, the offenses haven't been great, but like Kenneth Walker, great running back. People were thinking he could potentially be in the Heisman discussion there. But they played pretty solidly against Purdue, who's got a really good pass offense. I think they gave up 14 points in the first half. Then the second half, they just made sure no one really got hurt. So they let up some more points and didn't really show anything. I think they're going to be able to hold Michigan, hold Michigan's offense. They're going to be able to play good enough defense. And that's another thing, that the whole thing about this rivalry is that Ohio State, I don't want to say care. It seems like Ohio State the last 10, since Jim Tressel, that they've cared about beating Michigan more. I know Michigan cares about beating Ohio State more, but It's always there. It's always in the Woody Hayes Center of how many days until the Michigan game. It's always emphasized, like, this is the one game you got to win every year. Like, they just beat it into the players' brains that this is the game you have to win. I think that there's a who wants it more in this. And lately, Ohio State has, quote unquote, wanted it more. At least they've made it out to be that way, and that's why they had so much success.
Yeah, I can't add too much to that or speak too much on that, but it makes sense.
This other game this weekend, look, Alabama, are you still on them being the second best team in the country?
Yep.
Okay, they are definitely leaking oil. Now, again, I don't want to say leaking oil, but they are definitely not as dominant as they have been. That Arkansas game, they should have probably beat them by a couple of touchdowns. Also, how did you think that guy's catch in the back of the end zone was a catch, Jameis Williams? Like that late touchdown, did you see it or not?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I thought it was a catch.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought that ball was like moving around or whatever.
It's when we start breaking down that minutia of the balls moving, that's, you know, I hate that part of the rule. But just as far as like actively catching a ball, I would say that's a catch. Now in the rules of the game, yeah, that probably could have been left up for interpretation or left up for a little bit of question.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought Bama got some home cooking on that one at least. But their defense, when they play a physical front, which Arkansas does have, and then their defensive line is pretty good. I don't know. They just seem to struggle a little. But that Will Anderson guy, he's incredible.
Yeah, he's
a guy. Why is he not getting any? No. So really, we would say like what Bryce Young's the Heisman finalist. I really wouldn't even. He's had a fine year, but I would definitely say Williams probably should be the more deserving guy. CJ Stroud. Why is Will Anderson from Bama? Why is he not getting all this Heisman hype? Like he is. He's the best player on the field.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. But I'm disappointed Bo Nix isn't playing because I'd like to see a Bo Nix Auburn team at home play against Alabama because I thought they're going to win, but I think Alabama's getting beat by Georgia. If they continue to play like they did, they're going to get beat by Georgia, I think. Other game? What other games on the got your eye? Obviously, the Egg Bowl for me on Thursday night is a big one. I don't know, just all the rivalry games. What do you think about this line? Texas -3 against Kansas State.
I saw that. Head scratcher. I don't know.
Always a bunch of head scratchers. And I just want to take Kansas State. I just can't do it, though.
Agreed. Totally agreed. I thought the same thing. I was like, well, you have to take Kansas State. But then, like you said, I don't know if you really can.
And that stadium's going to be like half empty on Friday afternoon or Friday at noon, 11 a.m. kick. Like no one's going to be there. There's going to be no environment. I just cannot convince myself to bet Kansas State right now. And Kansas State's clearly the better team. Like, it's not even about that. It's just, I don't know why. Maybe I'll talk myself into it later, but right now I cannot understand that. Other than that, I don't know what other lines. I'm a little surprised Florida is favored against Florida State. Dan Mullen got the axe. They're laying 2.5 against Florida State. That's a little weird to me, but other than that, didn't really think anything else there jumped off the eye.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you kind of hit them all. Michigan State, Penn State, like I said, another little rivalry game there in conference battle. But outside of that, not a whole lot that's really tickling the fancy.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to picks. Last week, I had a good week. I was 6-3. So I'm now 69-50-2 on the season. How'd you do last week?
I went an even 6-6 last week, so I'm sitting at 75-47 on the season.
It's a action game and then like 11 games this weekend.
So you cut out. I didn't hear you after I gave out my record. I don't know what you had said. I don't know if the listening audience is going to be able to hear you, but you completely cut out.
Oh, sorry. I said that. I've got a matching game tonight, and then I've got like 11 picks for the weekend.
Oh, okay. I got a light card. I only got about eight games. Seven games. Okay. I only got seven this week.
All right. All right. Lead us off.
I got NIU tonight +3.5 against Western Michigan. I'm going to take Fresno State and the San Jose State over 52.5. I think Fresno State might do a good bulk of the scoring there. San Jose State likes to score points as well. I like Eastern Michigan +8.5 at Central Michigan. That might be a money line underdog sprinkle there. UNC +5.5 at NC State. I like Michigan State laying the 1.5 against Penn State. Clemson, South Carolina over 42.5. Clemson's offense seems to have figured it out, and they're finally starting to score points last few weeks. So hopefully they keep that up. And then I'll take Kentucky +2.5 at Louisville.
Okay, so tonight I have Ball State against Buffalo. They're 5-6. They are going for a bowl game. Buffalo's 4-7. Can't make a bowl game, so I'm going to lay the 6.5 with Ball State because they've got everything to play for. Obviously, I'm taking Mississippi State against Ole Miss, -1 right now. I think Mississippi State towards the end of the game or towards game time might end up being an underdog or something. But here's the thing. Mississippi State, if they would have a couple of calls go their way in the refs, they're looking at an 8-3 record right now, potentially 9-3 season. And they won 8 games this year. That's a great season for Mike Leach. I'm going to take the Boise State, San Diego State under. This is a time zone under. It's also, San Diego State's defense, very, very good. But this game kicking off 9 a.m. local time on Friday morning. 9 a.m. local time kick. I'm taking the under. I got Nebraska +1.5 against Iowa. Nebraska, as everybody's been saying, is probably the best 3-8 team to ever grace the college football world. We should have more wins than that. Iowa can't score. I think they're going to end the season with a win. Taking Memphis -6.5 against Tulane. Or -6, excuse me, against Tulane. They're at home. Tulane not good on the road. Memphis is 4-1 against the number at home. And they're also fighting for a bowl bid. I'm going to take Washington State -1 in the Apple Cup. Washington is in turmoil. I am going to scrap the over in the Ohio State game, but I'm going to take the Ohio State team total. So I'm going to take the Ohio State team total, which is 36. So I will take that instead of the over 64, so we don't have another situation like last week. If you've been listening, I've been going Hawaii, Wyoming. I've been on Hawaii when they've been on the island, and then when they've come to the mainland, I've been fading them. This is a 1 p.m. start in Wyoming, so we're looking at about a 10 a.m. body clock situation. I'm going to lay the 10 with Wyoming. Over in the Oregon State, Oregon game at 61. Kansas +16 against West Virginia at home. They've been playing well. And then I'm going to take Oklahoma State +4, but now it looks like it jumped to -4. That doesn't make sense. But hold on, let me see this. Yeah, I'll take Oklahoma State, I guess, -4 then. When I did this yesterday, it was a +4. That's a big
swing.
A big swing in a day. But I'll take Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, do you think they got a chance at the playoff or not?
No.
Okay. Probably not. They're too far out. But you never know. They got they win a couple games here, and they could be in the Big 12 championship game.
Do we see Cincinnati in the top four tonight?
Yes.
Have to.
You have to, right?
Have to.
You have to. You got to keep them up. You got to see them in the top four tonight. All right, so this has started like a new tradition on the Friday after Thanksgiving is the match. Not saying I'm always locked in on this, but this year's match, usually they bring out some celebrities to play with the pros, obviously, other than the first one, which is Tiger versus Phil. But this year is Bryson versus Brooks. And I'm going to be honest, I have zero desire to watch this. Like, I don't know who is going to go to TNT to watch this with their football on and everything, but this is just two hardos with the beef, fake beef, I don't know. Just really, I'm uninterested in this.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't even watch the only one I watched is the Peyton and Tom Brady one. And that was because we didn't have any sports going on at that point.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. If I remember that it's even on Friday, I may flip over just to watch a hole or two. But yeah, not going to be super locked in for that.
I'm not either. I do want, like, I'll obviously see the clips on the internet and see what goes on there. But I like the trash talk is always kind of forced. And this is really just going to be, I think pretty forced to trash talk. And it's only 12 holes. They're not even playing a full 18s because I think they pretty much know that nobody is going to want to watch a full 18 holes on that. But I'm curious what the ratings are on this and what the buzz is going to be on this thing, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of it. These aren't these aren't guys that drive like, oh man, these guys are playing. I need to watch them. There's one guy in the world that does that. Maybe two, and one of them is Tiger.
Yeah.
And he set the internet on fire on Sunday. What do you think about that?
Yeah, hitting balls, looking good. He's got the Alex Smith leg wrap thing going right now. So hopefully he can make a comeback again.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool to see. Everybody was going nuts about that and giving everybody a little sprinkle out there of what's going on. All right, do you have anything else here as we close up shop?
I think that's it.
All right, hope everybody has a good holiday. As I assume for a good amount of people, after last year not traveling to see some family, a bunch of people are going to be doing it this year. So have enjoy that time. We will be back on Monday with a full recap of the weekend. Have a good one, everybody, and we'll talk to you then.